It's always a joy to be able to bring the good news to you. And the text we're going to look at today for the sermon is from 1 Corinthians in chapter 9, verses 16 through 27. And this is the appointed reading for this day. It can be found on page 957. And so I'm going to encourage you to turn there and start at verse 16. And I'll read and you can follow along silently. This is Paul talking. He says, "For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But not of my own will, I am still entrusted with a stewardship. What then is my reward? That in my preaching I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, and those being outside of the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them its blessings. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we, an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." Now, we're going to get into the text in a little bit, but I want to start off with this. I have never been one of those people that shuns literature because it features wizards or witches or magic, things like that. In fact, some of my favorite authors, C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien, feature magic and wizards and all kinds of things in their books. And so when the Harry Potter series came out, I was eager to find out what was in those books. And I've read the whole, I think there were eight. I read them all. Seven? Yeah, eight movies, seven books, yeah. Read them all, okay, and in one in the very first book, there's a line in there that and the trio of protagonists, Harry Potter, Ron Weasley, his friend, and then Hermione Granger, they've just escaped from this, deadly trap. And now Hermione says to the other two, she goes, "Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to bed before either of you come up with another clever idea to get us killed or worse, expelled." And then Ron turns to Harry and he says, "She needs to sort out her priorities." Well, you can understand where she would put being expelled from school as a higher priority than death, or living. She does need to sort out her priorities. And when we look at this text, it's, and I have to apologize a little bit because when you do textual preaching, we're simply given the text each week from the lectionary. And sometimes it seems like they're just pulled out of thin air. Sometimes they make perfect sense. Other times, like this one, this week, it just out of place, you know, and you're not sure exactly what it's talking about. So I have to surround it with its context so that you understand what's happening. What's happening is the Corinthians need to sort out their priorities, because Paul has been accused of a few things. First of all, he has to defend his right to get to be paid, as well as others, pastors and church workers, to be paid for bringing the gospel. And he shows them in Scripture that, you know, those who do the work of the Lord need to be compensated for their work from the Corinthians. Never a dime. And so now, because he's never taken any money from the Corinthians, there are people in the church saying, well, the reason we don't take anything from Paul is because he's not an actual apostle. You know, the reason we don't give any money to him, he doesn't rise to the level of apostle, so we don't need to pay him. And he's saying, no. First of all, I deserve anything you were to give me, but I have never taken it because I want to make sure that I am, you understand that all of my reasons are pure, that all I want to do is bring the gospel to you. And so I have never taken a dime. This is what he's telling the people. You see, the church in Philippi is the one that really kind of kept Paul going. They're the ones that continued to give him money so that he could take his missionary trips and that sort of thing. And occasionally he would work. He was a leather worker, a tent maker, and he would make some money that way as well. But here in Corinth, and we've talked, you know, the last few weeks about the people in Corinth, okay? They've got a lot of problems. And one of them was right here, you know, suggesting that Paul did not rise to the level of the other apostles because he wouldn't take their money, okay? And so he's setting them straight on this. And he's telling them, look, I do everything, you know, to the full. And I preach the gospel to the full. And I won't take any money. I'm doing it all for you so that you will realize that I am pure in this. But don't for one second suggest that workers of the gospel shouldn't get paid, or say that I am not an apostle because I don't take money, okay? And so that's what he's saying here. Now, when you look at it and you understand everything that's happening here, you get the real sense that the Corinthian church doesn't have its priorities in order. Because if they did, they wouldn't hesitate one bit to give Paul all that they had. Because what's the most important thing? Emmeline knows. Christopher knows. It's God. It's what Christ has done for us. And that's what he's here to continue to tell them. And so everything that we have should go to people who bring the gospel to them. And I'm not telling you this so that you can increase your giving. That's not the point here, okay? The point is to understand what our priority should be. Everything I have, everything, I deserve to give to those who bring me the words of everlasting life. And they're holding on to these things and bickering about who deserves to be paid. Their priorities are way out of whack. If they knew that God comes first, they would give everything in order to hear the gospel. People understand that this moment right here, when you're hearing the word of God, you may not think it is, but this is the most important moment in your week. You're hearing the message of Jesus Christ, And these are the very words to bring you to faith and to bring you everlasting life. You hear the everlasting life. This has to be a priority. Over, that's why we pre-word once is not enough. We need to hear it over and over and over. That's why we preach Christ crucified every time you come in here, so that you hear again the message that God loves you so much so that he sent his son for you. Now, Jesus tells us exactly what our priority in life should be. He says it in Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, in 6:33, he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And he was talking about all those other things, health and wealth and, where your clothes come from, where your next meal is coming from. All those things will simply be added to you. But your focus should be on the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, what does that mean? That we should seek first the kingdom of God. Well, if you've been coming to Ascension for quite some time, you probably heard me talking about what the kingdom of God is. It's also referred to as the kingdom of heaven. Unfortunately, we tend to think, oh, heaven up there where we go when we die. But that's not what Jesus is talking about when he's talking about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about his reign over everything. His reign over the universe. It's not a command that you should, believe that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It is an invitation to put all of your trust in him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is asking you to trust in his reign. Trust me as your king and as your Lord to take care of everything in your life. That's seeking first the kingdom of God. As we seek his reign in our lives, that he is God. And what does he promise to do as God? First, he promises that he loves us desperately. And he promises to take everything that happens in our lives, good or bad, and to make it work out for our good. And so as we trust him to be our king, as we trust him to be our Lord of Lords, then what we're saying is, Lord, I'm going to trust that whatever happens in my life, you're going to make it work out for the good. I'm going to trust you, Lord. And I'm not going to think on all these other things and worry about all these other things. Here's a quick test as to whether or not, you are seeking first the kingdom of God. When you are not, your hands are put to a task, you may be thinking of work or whatever you're doing, writing whatever, but in the back of your mind, what's going on? When you're doing dishes, later today, what do you think will be on your mind? When you were getting dressed this morning, what was on your mind? Is it relationships? Is it money problems? Is it what's going to happen with my job? Am I going to find that job I'm looking for? Am I going to be able to keep the job that I have? What's going on in your mind? Well, that's taking priority. And what God wants us to know is this. Look, seek first his kingdom. That means I'm reigning. Jesus is reigning. And he's in charge of your life. And it's an invitation to say, Jesus, all this stuff is yours to take care of. I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I'm not going to let all those things run my mind and run my life. I'm going to let you run my life. I want you to be what's on my mind. And so we turn all of those cares over to the Lord. Relationship issues, money issues, whatever it is that's got our minds and has made itself a priority in our mind, we're saying, no more. Lord, you're my priority. You are my king. You are my Lord. And I'm going to trust that you're going to take care of these things. And he says, the moment that you do that, all those other things are just added unto you. He will take care of them. Trust him. And don't let all of the cares of the world continue to be priorities in your life. Let Jesus be the priority in your life as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, today, Super Bowl Sunday, we are going to see in living color on 65-inch TVs how wacky the world's priorities are. As we watch men playing a game, getting paid millions upon millions of dollars, while we have teachers in our schools, you know, getting paid embarrassing amounts of money, who take care of our children. What kind of priority is that? Well, we understand that the world has wacky priorities. And I don't blame the athletes for taking the millions of dollars. I'd take them if I could do those things. That's not my point. My point is that the world is, we can expect the world to have wacky priorities. But Jesus says that he needs to be our priority as King of Kings, of Lord of Lords. This is what it means to seek first his reign in our lives. His kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is Jesus' reign in our life right now. Not talking about that place where we go when we die. When he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, he means his reign in our lives right now. And so we're to seek his kingdom. But he also says, and his righteousness. What does it mean to seek his righteousness? Does it mean that he wants us to seek to be as good as we can be? Try to be as righteous as God is righteous. Seek his righteousness. Is that what it's about? I hope not, because I will never, ever attain it. Not even close. But rather, we seek his righteousness at the foot of the cross, where he gladly pours it out to everyone who trusts in him and who believes in him. He said, this is my righteousness, and now it belongs to you. You are made righteous because you've trusted in me. You are made perfect because you've trusted in me. You've done nothing in your life to make yourself perfect except trust in Jesus for his forgiveness. And Jesus bestows his righteousness upon all who trust in him. Seek first his kingdom, his reign in your life, and seek first his righteousness that is freely given to you from the cross. And all other things will be added unto you. All those things that we worry about, all those things we're concerned about, that we put as priorities in our life, he says, trust in me as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, that I reign. Know that I reign. And what is my promise to you? I promise that I love you. And I promise that I will take everything that happens in your life, even your mistakes, even your sins, and I'm going to turn them and make them work out for the good. Because he loves us desperately. And so today, I make this invitation to you to trust in Jesus as your King. Trust in his reign over your lives. And trust in his righteousness, which is poured out for you, given freely to you. You don't have to earn it. It's there for you as you trust in him. and all the other things in life that fight to be our priorities, God simply adds them to us.